My name's Bobby.
And I'm Sarah.
And welcome to BS with Bobby and Sarah.
This is episode 46.
And today BS is going to stand for Blasting Supernova. And why is that? Is it because our last episode suddenly went viral and our downloads number skyrocketed out of the stratosphere?
Absolutely. Right out into shooty space.
Of course not. We haven't posted in 2 months. No. Today we're getting spacey. Spacier than normal. More spacey than someone that hasn't done their taxes in 3 years. More spacey than someone that drives on their expired license for a year and a half.
Technically, it was extended.
Maybe we'll have to get into that in another bite-size episode.
Okay.
But no, for real, today's theme is going to be space, but also the game is going to be about space as well. And if you don't give a flying UFO about astronomy or space, don't nice. Worry, because in the game, we've got questions about Eurovision, home renovation shows from the early 2000s,
wow.
Scrabble, and a mini spelling bee for Sarah.
Oh my.
Oh, do you mean oh heavens? Because Sarah, today you wanted to talk about space and the heavens.
I did, because it's also heavenly. Heavenly bodies. Wait, no, what is that? I just got that.
Heavenly bodies, isn't that like a erotic massage service?
Is that, that's what I, no.
It's heavenly bodies.
I just remember the commercials. Yeah, exactly, heavenly bodies. Yeah, because it was either for a massage place or for one of those naked lady dancing places.
Yeah, let me just have heavenly bodies massage in my search history. But that's not what we're talking about, Sarah.
No, it is not. It is not. It is actually more the realm of go get your sunscreen, because we're going to be talking stuff hotter than the sun here. I used to think that the sun would eventually explode and just, like, you know, send us into smoky smithereens.
Okay.
But that's not the case.
It's just going to, like, run out of gas.
Yeah, basically. So it won't be until like 7 or 8 billion years. So we have nothing to worry about. But it said something like it's just going to sputter out. It's going to condense into a white dwarf. It's just going to, like, shed its outer layers like a snake.
Yeah, it's going to be like a Pokemon evolving from one form to another, from a big star to a smaller star, a white dwarf.
A white dwarf, which, did you know, actually is freaking hotter than an actual sun, like our sun?
White hot, yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I don't know if I've ever thought about it, but what I wanted to know is what made you think about the sun in the first place? Were you outside in the summer and you just fried your brain and you're like, wow, that's hot. What's going on?
No, I got like one of those random emails that I thought was from like a legit website, and I opened it and it was something about like solar flares are going to affect your something or other. Be careful with almost kind of like on the lines of like horoscopy type of stuff. And
that sounds
also
right
more
up your alley.
Of like, like magnetic field interruptions.
It's going to knock out your chakras. So prepare.
Exactly. I was like, oh my God, which crystal do I need for this? So I was like, okay, solar flares, are these real?
So you clicked the link, you signed up for a session, you bought the books,
no,
and then you
no,
learned about
no.
the sun.
I did not. It was always in the back of my mind, like, you know, this solar flare shit, is that real? Like, I feel like we would have been like, because I imagine it like a tongue kind of like sticking out of the sun, be like, you know, trying to touch the earth every once in a while.
So did you research solar flares and find out that they are in fact real?
Yeah, I found out that they are in fact real. And there have been a couple that have not necessarily like reached the earth, but they're big enough that they do impact like radio waves. And
well, first of all, what is a solar flare? Isn't it just when like gases and plasma shoot out from the sun?
Yeah, it's a like a really big, tremendous explosion on the sun from energy that's been stored in like a twisted little magnetic field. And it usually happens like on a sunspot.
And then it travels out into space. And then when it hits Earth, what happens?
Major events can trigger radio blackouts.
Are you sure? Are you reading your notes for the first time?
I am. No, not for the first time. I swear, this is why I can't do tests, because I get so nervous even reading this right off my notepad. It's like, oh my God.
So it could knock out telecommunications.
Yes, yes.
And that's actually what you're worried about?
Yes, I won't be able to text my friends or check how many likes my last post had. Well, the first solar flare, like the major one, was recorded in 1859. It's called the Carrington event. And you could even see like the magnetic fields were so strong that you could see the, you know, like the aurora lights, the northern lights. You could see those as far south as the Caribbean.
Okay, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, and there were severe interruptions in global telegraph communications. I was like, oh yeah, that's right, because that's kind of what they used to communicate. Sometimes it would even spark fires from the lines igniting the telegraph paper, which I was like, whoa, I guess that is pretty severe that a solar flare could do that. Mm-hmm. And then in this year, 2022, in February, SpaceX launched like a bunch of like Starlink satellites.
And Starlink is what? Satellites giving people in remote areas internet, right?
Internet, mm-hmm. Yep. But it destroyed about 40 Starlink satellites this year in February, a sun flare, solar flare, I should say.
40 out of how many? Do they only have like 60 or do they have 4,000?
Oh, damn. I think there was more information on that, but I did not want to delve that further into it. I just know that it was like about $50 million worth of satellite damage.
So are we due for another solar flare? Is this something that you need to worry about, the governments need to worry about?
No, I don't think any of us really need to worry about it. Not anytime soon. I don't think it's on the realm of like stopping us in our tracks of our day-to-day lives kind of thing. It might be annoying or something for a while, but then it might affect our emotions. So get a crystal.
Okay, well, I'm glad we spent 6 minutes fear-mongering only to be like, you know what? Don't worry about it.
Well, I mean, after finding out that the sun is not going to explode, I had to worry about something else.
What else in space do you worry or wonder about?
Aliens, actually.
Ooh, I just read a fantastic book. Well, actually, it's a trilogy, and I didn't really care for the first book, so I'm glad I kept going with book 2 and 3 because it ended up being really good.
What's it called?
Three Body Problem by a Chinese author named Liu Cixin. Cixin. I don't really know how to pronounce that. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I don't want to give too much away, but basically someone reaches out and aliens respond. Oh. And then aliens start heading our way.
Oh, God.
The first book has a lot of politics, which I didn't really care about, and not enough. There was too much science in the science fiction. I wanted more fiction.
Okay.
Like it would go on for paragraphs and paragraphs about like gravitational pull and radio waves and bending of those waves through certain points in space and time and dimensions. And I couldn't, yeah. It was like way over my head.
Bobby, I completely understand. As I was reading stuff about all of this, it literally made me nauseous to the point that I had to take breaks because there was just so much information about space. It was just like, blah, all in your face.
No, I was just going to ask you, why are you worried about aliens?
Because what if they're not friendly?
Definitely no chance they're going to be, because even just humans, anytime humans went into a new place with other humans, they weren't friendly.
See, but I think aliens would be, for them to come to Earth, they would have to be way more evolved than we are. And I think as humans evolve, we would be non-war-y. Otherwise, how would we? I think we're just still too distracted with our, I don't know, egos and wars. And when you're advanced enough to like put all that energy into like technology and being able to fly across space, I don't think war is much of a, like being mean or mad.
I think the exact opposite. Any species that is so technologically advanced that they can travel from light years away.
Yeah.
They would look at us like we look at ants.
But see, I don't want to go around squishing anthills.
But there's so much space in between humans and ants that like we can't communicate. Our technology is so much more advanced. We can completely destroy an anthill. Just like with the wave of our foot. And that's their civilization.
Ooh, so you mean like accidentally they'd be dicks
so
to us.
This is some much more fear-mongering.
Yeah. I think it's just the fear of the unknown in general that just gives me the heebie-jeebies. And the fact that it's like, what would they do with us? Anyway, I mean, it could be awesome.
No, it definitely would not be awesome. There's definitely no chance of that.
There's a teeny tiny chance. There's got to be. I don't remember the exact measurements, but this is an example. Like all the planets in our own solar system would fit between our Earth and the moon, our own moon. That's how much space is in between all of these planets that even though some of them are huge, like Jupiter and Saturn, they would still fit within the space from Earth to the moon.
That's why it's so hard for me to even think about anything like this. Like, the sizes mm-hmm. and numbers of things are so astronomical, no yeah. pun intended. But to think about all those planets, just space is so full of nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Why do you think it was making me throw up just thinking about all of this stuff that is kind of like, kind of uncomprehensible in our feeble little minds? Like, we know we try to compare it to like, oh, so many of these suns, I mean, so many Earths would fit in the sun. Like, that's how big the sun is. But then it's like, do we really have a concept of how big the Earth is if we've never been outside of it?
And then with the recent images coming out of the James Webb telescopes,
yeah,
and you see pictures and you're like, this includes an entire galaxy. That's not a star. That's yep. an entire galaxy. Yep. That's why when you said you want to talk about stars, I'm like, I can't even. Everything is just too massive. My stupid little ant brain can't take it.
Cannot compute. Yeah, it's like those robots where there's too much information being put into it and it's just like kind of like, you know, smokes and keels over.
And then imagine getting high and trying to think about all this. I'd probably be like curled over and my brain, it just melts. You'd be like, you took one gummy, get over it. I'm just rocking myself and be like, we are nothing. You're just tiny specks of dust in the universe.
You're literally nothing in the
universe. Matters.
Oh, good grief. Well, let's bring it back to like another spacey thing that's just for fun, is being hit by a meteorite or an asteroid.
The astronomical chance that a meteorite would hit Earth and then hit you specifically.
Well, no. I don't have a fear of me myself being struck. Actually, that would be amazing. If an asteroid was going to hit, I would absolutely 1,000% rather have it, yes, crush me.
Take me.
Take me. Just kill me now. Because if there was any chance of survival, but then it'd be like living in like an ashy maze and food's all dead and people are killing each other over a piece of potato, you know.
I would not want to live that. You're not about all about that post-apocalyptic life.
No. No. No, that would be so sad. What if, like, watching your like people you love get hurt, and or having to hurt or eat your loved ones just to survive? Oh my God!
I don't know. Sounds fun to me,
Bobby.
And if you want potatoes, stick with me, the Irishman. I'll get you some. I'm worried about what to make for dinner. Oh my gosh, can you imagine if this was an incredible segue because we were sponsored by a company?
For that'd dinner. That'd be so good.
Dinner meal hello. Prep.
Hello.
Don't say it. Don't say it. Because they ain't paid us, so we're not going to say it.
That's true. No.
Until they pay us.
Oh my goodness. So I have a question for you. There are about 8 architectural marvels inspired by the summer solstice, which is the longest day of the year. Can you name 3?
Stonehenge.
Okay, yeah.
That's like the famous one because like the sun lights up with the pillars and everyone's like, "Oh." I'm sure like the pyramids, they were yes. all into the stars and the sun and they align. Mm-hmm. Big Christ the Redeemer statue in Brazil. It waves out its arms and it's right in the middle and it's like the heartbeat of Jesus. No, that doesn't count. No. I'm thinking of one mm-hmm. in Asia or some temple in Asia.
I'll go from my país.
Chichen Itza? No, oh my
yes.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, Chichen Itza?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I was going to say the one that I've actually been to, which is Chapultepec. That's a castle. Oh my God. I haven't been there in too many years. Teotihuacan.
Oh, yeah, yep.
There, they have one that's called like Pyramid of the Sun. Sun Pyramid, Moon Pyramid.
Okay, well, that one was not on the list. So I don't. If it is, maybe it was like a not as like a grand thing. But
oh,
yeah, Chichen Itza
it's pretty grand.
Is.
I'm probably just wrong.
It's a temple to the moon. You got the wrong spatial object.
Celestial bodies.
There you go, celestial.
Celestial bodies.
Celestial bodies.
What else?
There's these sun tunnels in Utah, which I saw a picture of, and that looks actually pretty freaking cool.
What is that? Did some group of people in Utah build sun tunnels?
It's like basically four huge concrete like tubes just out in the land, and they're put like almost like in a star shape.
Is this recent?
Yeah, this one I think might be one of the most recent ones.
Oh, I was thinking that they were all ancient, not like some dude in the 60s took ayahuasca and like built these with concrete and cement.
No, I mean, they're just like from until now kind of thing. These are all from between 3000 BC and 1976. So, I mean, the 70s were a while ago.
Okay, next one. Moving on. We have four more to go.
Okay. All right. Chaco Canyon in New Mexico.
They built a canyon that lines up with the sun? What's going on? What do you mean?
Well, I didn't know you were going to get that specific. Hold on.
I mean, you can't just tell me that Chaco Canyon has something to do with the sun and then not telling me anything about their relationship.
Okay, so it's kind of like an amphitheater. You know how they build them in the ground and then they build like a little circle wall around it?
So it's a pre-Columbian cultural historical site. It's UNESCO. Okay, so that exists. They love the sun. Who else?
Did you doubt? Temple of the Sun in Peru. There's also, you named Stonehenge, Ring of Brodgar in Scotland.
And I guess people will have to Google that on their own to see what the hell it is.
My God, you are so mean to
me. Well, you're not. Do you have it in front of you?
No, but I do remember what this one was. And it looks very similar to Stonehenge. Okay. I don't think it has like the top shelvy rocks, but it does have like that built of rocks.
Okay. It's got some pillars, some more stones.
In a soikle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Chichen Itza in Mexico, which is like a kind of like a pyramid. The Great Pyramid of Giza, which I'm pretty sure almost everyone can imagine that. And then there's one in New Delhi. It's called Juntar Mantar. And that one is like the most modern looking. Okay, so it's built. It looks kind of like a butterfly or a vagine in a way.
What the fuck are you talking about? What is it? Is it like a big, giant butterfly vaginal statue? What are you talking about? What is Juntar Mantar?
It's a building. Okay, and it's on an angle. It looks like an upside down heart.
Okay.
But it doesn't have a roof necessarily. It has stairs. So it's not necessarily like a building. It's more of a structure or an art piece, kind of.
So it's literally just like a big staircase in the shape of a V.
Yeah. But with some curves down the bottom.
This is crazy. I suggest anyone who's interested to look at Juntar Mantar because, yeah, she explained it pretty well. It's like an upside down heart with staircases.
Mm-hmm.
But it also looks like lady bits. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
It is.
And all to
it
worship
is bizarre.
Or celebrate the sun.
Yep.
Well, my head is loopy from all this space talk.
Very much so. Yeah. It is spacey in my facey.
Well, it sounds like the perfect time to get into the quiz then.
Okay.
When your mental abilities
diminished. I was just gonna say that does not work out for me.
Well, we have been talking about outer space for so long, so let's move on to something different.
Okay.
The quiz that's gonna be, between 8 and 10 questions, because some questions have multiple parts. Let's see how you can test your knowledge about a different kind of space. For example, question number one, Taylor Swift's song Blank Space.
Oh, I like this. I see what you did here.
Released in 2014, was from which album? Is it Speak Now, 1989, Red, or Reputation?
Blank Space, okay. Because I've got a blank space. And 1989.
What makes you think that? You're just a big Swiftie stan.
I love Taylor Swift so much. Reputation might be the other one that I'm thinking of, but I think that one was more like, like angrier, like just more rowdy songs. And then 1989 was her first pop album, and that one was a pop song.
All right. Speak Now was from 2008. Red was from 2012. Reputation was from 2017. So 1989 is correct.
Woohoo!
Blank Space in 2014 was from the album 1989.
Sweet.
All right. Question number two. As of August 2022, have you seen What We Do in the Shadows?
Yes. Only not the new season.
But since I started watching that show, I can only say years like a vampire. August 2022. So as of August 2022, the YouTube video for Blank Space has how many views? 640 million? 957 million? 1.27 billion? Or 3.01 billion?
Oh my God.
Okay. I mean, popular song.
Eight years. There's not a lot of videos that go into the billions. No, I don't know. I mean, Taylor Swift, Lady Gaga, Katy Perry. I think those are some of the ones that might have some billion.
Anything K-pop.
Probably, yes. Oh my gosh. Probably the song Despacito has like 50 bajillion. I'm going to go with 1.7 billion.
1.27 billion?
Yeah, mostly just because it has been a while and people are probably listening and watching it over and over.
Yeah, I knew it was a popular song. I did not expect it to have 3 billion views.
Does it really? Whoa!
That it does. That's crazy.
That is crazy. Wow, way to go, Tay Tay.
Moving on, question number three. Sarah, this is easy peasy. Spelling bee. Spell the word syzygy.
What?
Since this is a spelling bee, you can ask for the definition and the origin of the word, and I can use it in a sentence, but spell the word syzygy.
Syzygy, like scissors. Okay. Yeah, can you use it in a sentence?
Sarah, I would like you to spell the word syzygy.
Tell me you're kidding, please.
I'm not kidding, but I never find that the sentences really help. I can give you the definition and the origin if you'd like.
Okay, fine. I guess I'll take that.
The origin is from ancient Greek, syzygia, meaning union or yoke. And because this is all space related somehow, the definition is a roughly straight line configuration of three or more celestial bodies in a gravitational system. So, for instance, I think
like
if the
Orion's
sun...
belt?
I don't know if that counts because I don't know if they're in a gravitational system.
Oh, yeah. Okay. They're probably too far away.
Well, I don't know if it has to do with space. Like, the sun, Earth, and the moon in a straight line could be syzygy because we're all in the same gravitational
system. Okay. Yeah, that makes more sense.
As if any of that's going to help you spell the word.
No, but now that I know that it has to do with space, it's probably like a crazy insane spelling because that's just how it goes. And then it's Greek, so that also has a bunch of extra consonants that don't make sense.
Syzygy.
Okay, I'm going to go with TS for the first letters. Syzygy, and then probably like a J somewhere in there. So TSIJZEGY.
Okay. You know what? Some people might think you're crazy for starting it off with T and S together.
Okay.
But there is a Greek tennis player named Tsitsipas, and his name does start T-S-I-T-S-I-P-A-S.
Oh, that bodes well. Is this good news?
Oh, no. I was just trying to make you feel better.
Oh, son of a bitch. Okay.
I mean, if you saw the word that you spelled out, did you write it out yourself?
I did, and it looks insane.
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to throw it up on the Instagram. No, syzygy is just spelled syzygy.
Oh, see what I mean about just a bunch of consonants?
I mean, you were also in saying that it was gonna probably be crazy. But now, Sarah, question number four. In Scrabble, how many points would you be awarded for the word syzygy? But note, there's only two Ys in the game. So for the third Y, you'd have to use a blank tile, which is 0 points.
Well, I know a Z is a bunch of points. I've played Scrabble about 2 times in my life because no one ever wants to play with me.
How many is a bunch to you?
6. And then you got the Y and the other Y.
So, you know, Ys aren't that common. So what do you think a Y might be?
Maybe 4 points, 5 points. And then, so it wouldn't be 40. Yep. The G I'm going to give, I think it maybe 1 point for a G.
You think G is more common than S? Sarah, you have like 7 S's in your name and no G's.
Excellent point. I'll up it to 4 points for a G and then a 0 Y. So now I have to, let's see, that's a 10, 6, 22 points.
I mean, your methodology was insane, but it was still surprisingly scarily close.
Oh.
Syzygy and Scrabble would get you 21 points.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Whoa. For anyone wondering, a Z is 10 points.
Wow, a Z is 10 points. Dang. I want to play Scrabble. I've always wanted to. I have a one, but like no one ever has time for that.
There's got to be online Scrabble.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yes. Words with friends.
Y is surprisingly only 4 points. An mm-hmm. S is one Ooh. Point and a G is two. That adds up to 21. I just had to double check. I was like, is it really?
Yeah, it felt like it would be more, but with the Z being 10 points, yeah.
All right, don't worry. You won't have to do any more math, I promise.
Yes.
Wait, do I? Okay, we'll see. Question number 5, and this one has a few parts, but I'll still explain it for you. One of the most infamous home designing shows of early TLC, Trading Spaces.
Yes.
The original run from 2000 to 2008 was where two neighbors swap homes and then redesign a room in each other's house with a budget of $1,000 each, a carpenter, and a, quote, interior designer, mm-hmm. which I've put in quotations because some of these were downright horrendously atrocious.
Oh my goodness, yes. I don't know how they got a title of interior designer or anything.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you the room design, and then I want you to tell me which of the four people designed the space.
Okay.
All right, and I'm going to give you the names. Yes, all of these names are real, and yes, they're all real people from the show, because some of them sound like ones I would make up, but they're not.
Okay.
The designers you have to pick from are named Carter Oosterhaus, Hildy Santo Tomas, Vern Yip, and Genevieve Gorder. So here is room number one. In the dining room, a mural mosaic where an image was a 7-foot-tall by 5-foot-wide cartoon version of the designer's own face with a yellow background on the rest of the wall. Was that Carter Oosterhaus, Hildy Santo Tomas, Vern Yip, or Genevieve Gorder?
I feel like Vern was always pretty good.
Okay, so you have seen the show and you do remember
some of it. Oh, yeah. I used to love that show. I'd watch it all the time. I mean, the carpenter guy, his name was Ty, and I think he's got like his own network now or something. Something crazy like that.
It was like must-see water cooler TV.
It was. Okay, so I remember Hildy. Oh, man, I'm having trouble remembering if Hildy or Genevieve was the crazy one. Which one was the one that would take more wild chances? I'm going to say this was Hildy.
Hildy Santo Tomas was the narcissistic, crazy enough one to make a giant cartoon image of her own face.
Yeah, on someone's home.
That's correct.
Yes. Okay, sweet.
Incredible. And these images are definitely going to be on our Instagram because they are insane. And I don't know what we as humanity were doing in the early 2000s to allow for any of this.
I don't think I remember this episode. I just remember a few of these were like, oh my God, why?
All right, room number two, the bathroom. 6,000 to 7,000 fake flowers in every color were stapled to the walls, covering every inch of the wall space, while the vanity and the window trims were painted gold.
Oh,
was that
my goodness.
Carter Oosterhaus, Hildy Santo Tomas, Vern Yip, or Genevieve Gorder?
I mean, Vern sometimes had some visions that, see, in theory, I think that would look really pretty. But then when you do it, and in a bathroom, I feel like Vern would have been like, no, there's a line there. I'm going to go with Carter because I don't remember that name that much. So I'm feeling that he was not that great and they kind of subbed him in for someone else later on.
As a kid, I might think, oh, pretty color flowers. And now as adult, I'm like, how the fuck do you dust that?
Yes, exactly. All the spiders are going to have just the field day.
Every day I'm more and more like my mother, who would always be like, how are you going to dust that? How do you clean that?
Oh my goodness. Your mom and my mom would have been best friends because that's exactly why I can't get anything awesome and cool and pretty anymore. Because I'm like, well, that's going to be a bitch to clean.
Well, let me tell you, this design was also by Hildy Santo Tomas.
Oh man, I almost went with her again. The crazy bitch.
All right, room number three. Only two more to go. This living room turned into a beach inside a circus tent. The walls were painted bright red and yellow vertical stripes, curtains mm-hmm. to match, and the mm-hmm. floor, sand. Wheelbarrows of sand were dumped into the room to cover the entire floor, and the room was complete with a fake palm tree in the corner and beach lounger chairs for furniture.
I remember this one. I totally remember this one. I just don't remember the designer. Oh my God. I remember the faces though.
The faces of the people when they step inside.
Yep. I'm going to go with Crazy Hildy again because...
This atrocious room, also Hildy Santo Tomas. Oh. All right, our final room, room number 4. Thinking outside the box, wanted to try something avant-garde. This living room had its ceiling painted pink and hay applied to the walls.
Oh no.
They literally painted glue on the walls and then pressed in hay. I guess giving it some texture, but that had to smell like a barn.
Oh, wow.
Designer did this? Carter Oosterhaus, Hildy Santo Tomas, Vern Yip, or Genevieve Gorder?
I'm feeling maybe Genevieve did this one because it sounds like something smart. Wait, did they leave the hay on there or did they just like press it to use it as like a something to make the
I see what texture. You're saying. Just to make texture. Nope, they left it on the wall.
Oh, gosh. That is no. With this track record, I want to say Hildy, but you might be trying to trick me. Vern, was this you?
You sound like a mother scolding their child. Vern, did you put hay on the wall?
Disappointed in you. Vern.
You can tell me. I won't be mad. I just want to know, did you put hay on the wall?
Were you playing interior designer again? I've told you not to do that without my permission. I'm going to just... call it a Hildy again.
You have to. You have to go Hildy because that's the correct answer.
Yes.
Hildy Santo Tomas was the biggest troll to have ever appeared on TV.
The original troll.
Like you could see people's faces drop when they learned that she was designing their space in their house because she was so wild.
And you know she was getting paid for this too.
But you know what? Fantastic television.
Yep, it made for great TV. How could you not like it?
Reportedly, the removal of the hay took 17 hours and was paid for by the production company because you have to. She destroyed their living space. And they had children.
Can you imagine one of them? She probably gave them hay fever.
Yeah, a little toddler running and picking a piece of hay off the wall and trying to eat it. Let's see. So we know Hildy Santo Tomas was the crazy one. Carter Oosterhaus, mm-hmm. The name didn't sound familiar because he was actually one of the carpenters that filled in for Ty Pennington. Vern Yip,
yeah.
He was the one that people would always like. He had mm-hmm. Pretty good clean designs. And then yes. Genevieve Gorder, she was also pretty good.
Yeah, she was good. She had a little bit more of like a whimsy, but also very good. Like she knew when to rein it in.
Yes. Ah, nostalgia.
Yeah.
I suggest anyone go to see not just the horrible rooms, but some of the other rooms that weren't too great. And that was a rough time for TV and design. Question number 6. In typography, what is the term for adjusting the spacing between individual letters and characters? So, for example, when a lowercase r and n are next to each other, mm-hmm. if it's too squished, it kind of looks like an M.
Yes. True.
So you would have to adjust the blank to make it more legible. So what is the term for adjusting the space between an individual letters and characters? Is it darch, D-A-R-C-H, kerning, K-E-R-N-I-N-G, schwa, S-C-H-W-A, or stolta, S-T-O-L-T-A?
Oh my goodness. These are all crazy words.
Have you experienced this?
I have definitely experienced that.
It's also kind of unfortunate like when... you know someone whose name is like A-N-A and you can never use an exclamation mark after it?
Because it looks like anal. Okay, darch, kerning, schwa, and stolta. Kerning just sounds like something to do with kernels. Darch, that one, how is that not made up? I don't know. Oh my God, these are hard. Stolta is the only one that looks like something that could be real, that like maybe based off of like a Swedishy, Dutchy, Norwegian type of language.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Stolta.
Stolta. Mm-hmm. All right. First, let me tell you that Darch, that's actually the surname of the mayor of the town that you live in.
Me?
Yes. And I know how... how much you're into local politics, so I'm surprised that didn't jump out at you.
If it's not covering people's yards with boards, I've never seen that before.
A schwa is, in linguistics, it represents the mid-central vowel sound produced when the lips, tongue, and jaw are completely relaxed. So basically the sound, like pencil. About, memory.
Whoa, neato!
It's represented in linguistics by like an upside-down, backwards, lowercase e.
Oh,
if that makes sense.
You lost me at that second thing.
Oh, actually. Oh my God, I'm so dumb. Why backwards and upside down? Actually, if you just rotate the E 180 degrees, that's what a schwa looks like.
Okay. Man, the craziest things have names. Like, who knew that a sound or had a name?
Probably linguists. Okay, so we're down to Stolta and Kerning. Let me tell you that Stolta... Mm-hmm. is Italian for foolish.
Oh, man, that's what I feel like now.
You fell right into my trap.
That was a stunning trap.
Kerning is the term for adjusting spacing between individual letters and characters, which is funny because the example I used, Kerning, R and N are next to each other in that word. So the joke is, watch the Kerning in the word Kerning, or else it would look like Keming. K-E-M-I-N-G.
Oh, my goodness. This is why I love your games, because even though I lose, I learn things, and it's awesome.
Question number 7. This year, 2022, the United Kingdom had its best placing in Eurovision in 24 years. Woo-hoo. What was the name of their song that came in second place only behind Ukraine? Was the name of the song Spaceman, Satellite, Space in Between Us, or Space Boys?
Wait, oh man, in 2022, shit, I still haven't watched that one.
Yeah, I know. That's why I knew this would be a good question, because I know that you like Eurovision and you love music, but you're always way too late for things.
Yes. Now I want to kick my butt. Just more Stolta feelings.
Spaceman, Satellite, Space in Between Us, or Space Boys?
Oof. I think I'm going to go with Space in Between Us, because that sounds very Eurovision-y. Yep. Space in Between Us. I'm just gonna go for it, because I truly do not know. These all sound like perfect names for songs.
Well, Satellite is a perfect name for a Eurovision song, because it was the 2010 winner from Germany's Lena.
Aha!
Space Boys... because Eurovision is kind of very gay, so I thought you might pick up on Space Boys.
Space Boys.
That is a song from the fictional girl group Girls Five Eva, from the eponymously named show on Peacock, which I encourage everyone to go watch.
Yes, I've heard good things.
It has Sarah Bareilles, and it has Tony winner for Hamilton, Renee Elise Goldsberry.
Nice.
It's comedy along the lines of like 30 Rock or Kimmy Schmidt.
Okay.
But they have some actually really good songs, including one called Space Boys, where they go hunting for boys on different planets.
Oh, I thought you were going to start singing the song. I was very excited about that.
I could not do it any justice. This next song was from a group called Building 429 from 2004. It's an American Christian rock band, which I know because I used to listen to K-Love. Because like the slogan, it was positive and encouraging.
It was positive and encouraging. K-Love.
That song from the American Christian rock band was called Space in Between Us.
Oh, son of a monkey, it's Spaceman.
Spaceman from Sam Riker. If it was not for Ukraine, probably getting some sympathy votes because, you know, the whole ordeal.
Right.
They might have won, although Ukraine song was pretty good.
Oh, man. Wow.
Moving on. Question number 8. There's two parts to this, and then we're done with the game and we can review your score. Wrapping it back up with actual space. Aboard the Voyager spacecraft, launched in 1977, there's two gold records that contain sounds and images that were selected to portray life and culture on Earth.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of this.
Yeah, it's sort of a time capsule for any intelligent extraterrestrial life form that might find them.
Unless it's getting interrupted by solar flares.
So, part one. To represent humanity, they recorded spoken greetings in 55 ancient and modern languages.
Whoa.
So, Sarah?
Yeah?
List 5 non-European languages that they featured.
Oh, Mandarin.
Very good. I was expecting you to say like Chinese and I'd be like, technically.
And that's why I didn't choose that word.
Smart. Okay, good. Mandarin. That is one.
Mandarin. Australian. Eh? No?
I should deduct points for that.
No, don't do it. Okay, take it back. Okay, non-European.
Because obviously that'd be easy. You would just say like English, yeah. French, Spanish, German, Italian. There's still 40 non-European.
Hindi.
Yes. Okay, good. Nice.
Latin.
Oh, Latin. Okay.
Japanese.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I could just stay over there.
Why not? It'll end sooner if you do.
The suffering. Korean.
Yes.
How many more do I have? One more space.
No, that's
to fill?
Everything that you needed.
Oh, yay?
So you Sweet. Get a point for that.
I'm so happy.
So there was no Greek, but there was ancient Greek that they included.
Okay.
Other languages that they included, I'm just going to go through all of them, including European languages. So like Arabic, Armenian,
Ooh,
Bengali, Burmese, Czech, Dutch, Hungarian, Hebrew.
Hebrew, that's such a good one.
Gujarati.
Whoa.
Indonesian. Nepali, Marathi, Mandarin, like you said, Cantonese, mm-hmm. Persian, Punjab, Quechua, you know, that's from South America.
Okay.
Russian, Romanian, Serbian, Welsh, Wu, which is also a Chinese variant, Urdu, okay. Turkish, Thai, Swedish, Sumerian, which is an ancient language as well.
Oh, Thai. How did I not know that?
You could have stayed in that region too, and you could have gone Vietnamese,
mm-hmm.
but we got there in the end, thankfully.
We got there.
Blessedly.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
All right. The final question of today's game. There are 116 images on those gold records. I'm going to give you five. You got to tell me which two are not on there.
Are not on there. Okay.
English primatologist and anthropologist Jane Goodall and her chimps. Humans licking, eating, and drinking as modes of feeding. A taxicab crashed into a red phone booth below Big Ben.
Oh, boy.
Human sex organs, but only line drawings because NASA wouldn't allow photos of actual genitalia. And the White House being renovated in 1951. Now, two of those are not included on the Golden Voyager records.
Oh, my goodness. These just sound insane to be in there at all. Wait, you said there were how many total?
There's 116.
Okay, so I guess if they're going for a random sampling of just random Earth experiences.
They selected the images to portray life and culture on Earth.
All right, so I'm going to say the genitals were not a part of that. Because if you're going to portray that, you might as well put an actual image out there. Otherwise, they're going to be very disappointed with what they see in real life when they come over. And they're like, this is why we came. Where are our line penises?
Okay.
And either the taxi or the renovated White House. Okay, the renovated White House, I'm thinking Independence Day, you know, and like, why would they want to be like, this is where our president lives? You know, we can rebuild.
Aliens wouldn't know that it's a president's house. If you think about it, they just see a building being built.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
I mean, I mm-hmm. don't want to impact your decision. I just want to expand the thought
yeah.
process. We know it as the yep. White House, but
and the taxi crash. See, with those two things in there, they just might think like, man, this place is really falling apart. Why are we even going?
Yeah. Maybe the aliens could think, oh, was this the last ditch effort from a civilization that's breaking down and is asking for our help?
They're trying to entice them. Like, yes, let's send them some like help. The chimps, I feel like that's just really sweet. And you know, we'd want to put our best foot forward. You know, first impressions matter. So I'm going to say that the ones that are not in the photo thingy are the genitals and the White House building. Just because I just don't find many point in that, really.
So you think that they included an image of people licking and eating and drinking?
Yeah, so that they could see how we ingest stuff.
Yeah, they did. It's an image of a woman licking an ice cream cone.
Sweet.
A man eating something, and then a guy like pouring liquid out of a pitcher into his mouth.
Cool.
Also a picture that exists on the Voyager Golden Records, Jane Goodall and her chimps.
Yay, yes. I'm like, okay, they can be nice to other creatures. Maybe they'll be nice to us.
I'm going to let you know that the White House being renovated in 1951, mm-hmm. not on there. I made that up. They do, however, have some infrastructure, pictures of infrastructure and buildings. They have the Taj Mahal, the Sydney Opera House, the Golden Gate Bridge.
Cool.
Human sex organs.
Are they on there?
Are included on the Golden Record.
The drawing?
The drawings, because NASA did not allow actual photographs of genitalia.
Whoa. So the other one was the taxi crash.
Taxi cab crash in a red phone booth below Big Ben was like so painfully British. It did not happen.
So painfully British.
So you get 1 point for that because you got one of them right. I'm feeling generous. The images they go from everything. They go from an image of Mercury to a fertilized ovum or sand dunes. Bushmen hunters, an elephant, people running, a Japanese schoolroom, an x-ray of a hand, rush hour traffic.
Sounds like National Geographic.
They basically tried to find all of humanity and splice it into 116 images.
I'm surprised there wasn't more, honestly.
I don't think they could fit any more on these golden records.
Oh, right, because this was a while ago.
1977. Imagine, there's probably more... There's probably more technology in like a Nintendo cartridge than what was available for these golden records in 1977.
Yeah.
And yet.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. Shit.
They were still able to blast it off into space.
Yep.
Incredible.
Bizarre. Yep. Like all that stuff, technology, space. It's all so mind blowing.
Well, that concludes our game. And Sarah, you seem to have acquired 6 points. It's incredible.
Ooh, out of
a total 12 points you could have received, you got 6, which is actually pretty good for you.
Yeah, I got half. Ooh, that actually is really good.
So for that, you're going to get a golden star on this grading.
The ba-dum-bum. I like it.
And there wraps up the theme of today's episode. Stellar job, stellar performance. Is there anything else before we wrap up?
Just a thank you to all the listeners who have been waiting patiently for our next episode.
If you want to follow us on any of the social medias, at BS with BS Podcast, reach out to us. Be sure to check out our Instagram because I'm going to post those hideous, horrible trading spaces rooms.
I can't wait to see that again.
Also, the way that Sarah spelled syzygy, because it's a sight to behold.
I mean, when you see the real word, you'll see that I'm not that crazy.
No, the way you spelled it looks a little more Hungarian, though, I will say.
I love that you know different cultures and their spellings and stuff.
That's just
languages.
Me. That's just who I am.
I could hear the stretch.
Oh my God, I am stretching.
I know, I could hear it.
And that's how you know it's time for the show to be over.
Okay.
So on that note, my name is Bobby.
And I'm Sarah. And this has been some BS.